Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. We're glad you're here today. Thank you for worshiping with us here at Grace Point this morning. We're celebrating this weekend, of course, and tomorrow Memorial Day. And so I thought it would be good for us just to pause and to take a few moments and remember, as we remember those who lost their lives defending our freedom and our country, and also those who have served and continue to serve. I think it's important for us to do that. So I want to ask, first of all, those of you that are here today, if you have served or are serving now in our armed forces and the military, would you stand up for us for just a moment? If you have served or are, just remain standing. Just stay standing for just a minute. Just stay standing for just a minute. Yeah, thank you. All right, let's join them. Would the rest of you stand? Would rest everyone just stand with them? Just stand with them. And I want us to just worship through this video that I want to share with you, and then I'll come back in just a minute and pray for us, okay? Pray. Father, we are grateful today as we remember. We remember those who have fought for our freedom and who gave their life. And we pray, Father, for families today that grieve and mourn the loss of loved ones who lost their life defending this country and our freedom. And so we pray strength and comfort to those families today as they continue to grieve the loss of their loved ones, Father, today and in the days ahead. We're praying strength, peace, comfort. We pray today also, Father, for those in this building who stood and even beyond this building, those who are serving now and those who have served. May they truly understand and feel this sense of gratitude that we as Americans have for them, that they have fought and are fighting to give us the freedoms to live in this country and to worship you freely. So today we remember and we are grateful, and may that spirit of gratefulness not leave us. May we be faithfully reminded to be thankful and grateful for those who have fought and those who are fighting for our freedom. We pray your protection and your safety, God, and your grace over each and every one. Thank you, Father, for your provision in every way. We are grateful today. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Thankful. So today we continue in 1 John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I just did one takeaway last week on verse 18. We had a number of different things going last week. And so as I shared with you, let me just go back to verse 18 and do a little review and a little catch up, and then we'll finish this message today. We'll go through verse 28. In verse 18 is where we started. Children, it is the last hour. It is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. And I said to you the last week that the message of the New Testament is that when Christ came, we entered the last days. Now, no one knows how long these last days will last. As I shared with you last week, and I won't go into it as much as last week, some believe and have a biblical foundation in case, and I get it, that we are in the last hours of the last day. Some believe that the return of Christ is imminent, is soon. Some believe that. And I shared with you last week some scripture passages that we can kind of see, kind of describes this day and time. But I also shared with you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, where it says that the Lord will come, his return, second coming, will come like a thief in the night. And so we don't know when it is. So the person who says, I know when it is, come with me to the top of this mountain, because through scripture, I have come up with this understanding of when the last day is, the return of Christ, and follow me there like people have done in the past and have been deceived, and that's what John's talking about. And you hear that and you say, not true, because the Bible, the Word of God, tells me different. And I choose to go with what the Bible teaches, as opposed to what some person or man or some new revelation really is what he's talking about. There's people who rose up within him. Some of you, he would say, who rose up and who left and who started proclaiming a different Christ. They were denying that Jesus came in the flesh. They were denying the deity of Christ. They were denying the person and the work of Christ. False prophets, false teachers, right? And we're going to get to that. And so he's writing in response to that. And so last week I said to you, takeaway number one, living in the last days, all right, as I defined it, all right, when Christ came, we entered the last days. Living in the last days, because we don't know when his return will be. It could be today. It could be this hour. It could be next week. It could be 5, 10, 20. We don't know, right? But understanding we do live in the last days should present a sense of urgency to keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't get so bogged down in everything else. The main thing is Jesus. Living for and sharing with others. Living for Christ and sharing him with others through the way we live, through the way that we relate. So knowing that we are living in the last days, to keep the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus, and I think it's loving God and loving others too. John wrote about that. Jesus spoke about it. We've talked about this. Let me just remind you, when the religious leaders of the day came to Jesus and tried to trap him to say, now which is, of all the commandments, which is the greatest? And he said, you remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Way. This is wrong. My heart's not right before God, and I'm not rightly related to him. This won't be right no matter how hard you try. If this is wrong, I start here. That's the main thing. So what I'm saying is to love God and love others, right? The main thing. Let's not miss that. Let's not get so busy in this world, as we talked about a few weeks ago, that we start to become of it, and we miss what God wants us to have. The priority is to loving God and loving other people, loving, having your family as your priority, and your wife and your husband and your children, and the people that are your friends, that that becomes, you know, in these last days, we don't miss that. And so keep the main thing the main thing. Now, if let's move to, so we read through verse 18, and then let's pick it up in verse 19. So we just came off of, therefore we know that it is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. So you have the Holy Spirit, he's saying, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Now here, verse 22, all right, every Christian, everybody who calls themselves a believer needs to understand this and needs to know this, the truth about who Jesus is. This is foundational to your faith. This is what John is going after here. He's defending this, okay? Here's the issue. Here's in verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And that's what was happening, okay? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son, right? No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, I said last week, let me just remind you, one of the kind of the common themes of most cults is that they're going to deny the deity of Christ. They're going to deny the person and the work of Christ, what the Bible teaches about the person and the work of Christ, right? And the deity of Christ. And that's what's happening here, all right? False prophets, antichrist, they're against Christ, who he is and his teachings, all right? And so that's fundamental for us as believers to understand that the Bible is clear. There is no question for us as believers that when Jesus came, it was indeed God in the flesh and he was dwelling among us. You get that? Amen? No question. That's who he was. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. You get down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if the Word was God and the Word became flesh, God became flesh. Now there's a lot of scriptures to support the truth of the deity of Christ. And so they're these teachers were denying that, right? And so that's why he's going at, and that's central, verse 22 and 23, to these 10 verses, really whole book. But that's central what he's talking about today. So when people are teaching on the radio or on the television, and they start teaching stuff contrary to what the Bible teaches about Christ, that as a believer, you should say, hold up a minute, time out, wait, that doesn't sound, let me go, what do you believe about Jesus? Who do you believe that he was? Right? And so we have to make sure we understand. You'll get a lot of different ideas. So what do we just want to understand what we believe indeed about Jesus. And this is what he says. He says, who's the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? So they're denying that Jesus was the Messiah. They're denying that Jesus was God in the flesh, right? No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father. So I said to you last week, I can give you my sermon in 9 words. I can still do it. And it's part of your takeaways. Remember last week I said, for $100, can anybody tell me what the... No, I'm just kidding. You wouldn't remember anyway. So I'm pretty sure, unfortunately, it's very humbling, but it's true. Start with Jesus, stay with Jesus, and end with Jesus. Thank you. $50 from Guy Earl, if you see him after the service. Start with Jesus, stay with Jesus, end with Jesus. That's going to be your takeaways. I add to them a little bit, all right? So let's go takeaway number 2, based on the verses I just read. Start with Jesus. Here's what John is saying to them and to you and I today. He says, it's starting with Jesus, all right? You know the truth. You have the truth. Embrace the truth, all right? He's saying, you have this knowledge. You already know the truth here. But these guys are saying, all right, from the beginning, John says one indication of the last days is the increasing activity of the Antichrist, right? So his view of the last day seemed to be that there's a singular Antichrist that is coming, as we can see there. He talks about, he heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. But the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world producing many, what we could call many lesser forms of the Antichrist. All right, so the essence of the Antichrist is denying the truth about who Jesus is. All right, now let me show you. You don't need to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, Jesus says this. All right, so he's echoing, John is, what Jesus already stated, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. So he's talking about signs of the end of the age. Now you go over to verse 24, just for time's sake, it says, Jesus says, continuing to speak, he says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray. This is Jesus talking, if possible, even the elect. He's talking about you, saved people. Even some of the saved people will be led astray. This is why you and I need to know why we believe what we believe, and especially about Jesus, what we believe about Jesus. And that's why John is taking this on. So when we talk about Antichrist instead of or against Christ, the spirit, one writer says this, of the Antichrist is the putting of man in the place of God. Self-worship or humanism. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, if you go on to verse, let's go to verse 22 for time's sake. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Right? So 1 John chapter 4, I'm giving you a lot of scripture today, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Right? The spirit of the Antichrist, right? Denying the works of Christ, the person and the works of Jesus. The Bible gives clear about this is who Jesus is. So false teachers come in and teach against that truth. That's what you look for. That's what you, so you yourself are not led astray. Now remember, I think I said last week, the thing about this that caused so much division is it was the people who were rising up and teaching this, these false prophecies, some of them were from the community. He's saying they were of us. You saw that, right? And they rose up and left, and they started teaching a different gospel. So I think one of the reasons John's writing is some of the people were, wait. No. Well, I mean, we broke bread with them, man. We hung out with them. Maybe they hurt. Maybe we should. Right? And so, that's why we have to have the truth, because we can be deceived and we can be led away. And how much division would that have caused back in that day? And so that's why he's trying to rally people, them together around the truth of what they already know. Remember he said that? You already know this. You know this. Now I think it's important for us to be able to communicate the truth about what we believe. I've said that many times, to own our faith, to know why we believe what we believe, right? And I said last week, it's not just because Pastor Dave said it, it's because here's what the Bible teaches. First Peter 3, let me read this. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to this. Always, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, check this part out. Get ready, okay? This is where we're falling down, I think, sometimes, okay? Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So when we are talking to people that are denying the truth, now it can be about the central issue, the deity of Christ, or it can be about anything else, right? That we want to do in a gentle and respectful way, even if other people aren't gentle and respectful towards you. Now we're in a culture today that before I ever open my mouth, people can be hostile towards me because of what I believe. Before I ever say a word. You're a Baptist preacher. You are narrow-minded. You're against this group, this group, this group, and this group. Let's talk about that thing before I ever. Now, and as I share, of course, I'm not going to yell at them like I yell at you, but I do it in love to you. But in a gentle and respectful way. Now, here's why it's so hard. You know why it's so hard? Because it's a lot of the issues are such emotionally driven issues that we get, it just fires off in us. And before you know it, gentle and respectful has turned to mean and ugly or mean and loud. And then what happens is we lose our witness. We lose our effectiveness of gently and respectfully agreeing to disagree. Right? This is why. Now, what makes you right, Pastor Dave? I've had that. What do you mean? How narrow-minded is that? You think you're right. You're telling us we're wrong. You're telling me I'm wrong. What makes you right? And my response to that has been, what makes me right is that my beliefs don't come from some man or some new revelation. My beliefs come straight from the Word of God. Amen? That's the difference. When I come up with what I believe, it's not some new revelation. It's not because some guy said, yeah, you know what? Follow me. I have a new word from God. Let's go build a compound. Bring all your money and all your stuff, and you follow me. I'm the new leader because God spoke to me. It's different than what's in here, but come follow me. That's the difference. And the other difference is false teachers, and you see it here, and John talks about it, is, as we're going to see in just a minute, he continues, what John does, you notice through 1 John, especially these next few scriptures, is he's continually to point people to abide in Christ, abide in Christ, abide in his word, abide in his word. He's not drawing people to himself. False teachers and prophets draw people into themselves, not point people to God. So the difference is the reason, what makes me right is that I'm basing my beliefs on what the Bible says, right? Because we don't need some new revelation, right? Even though the culture and the world might say, well, you know, that's irrelevant and outdated, the Bible is, we still believe that the Bible is true, it's relevant, it's accurate, it's God's way to teach us, correct us, and equip us, and we believe it will never change, never get old, and never return void. And you say, that's what we believe. Now, I wouldn't yell at him like that. But get some conviction, man. Don't be swayed by people. Or the late night talk guy on TV who looks slick and talks slicker. And they pan out there and there's 10,000 people just sponging it up, man. Get some conviction. This is why I believe it. Not because I just think I'm better than you. I believe it because this is what the Bible says. Right? And I know what is truth. And so you teach it to your kids. Because let me tell you, man, not to be scared or cause fear, but when you send them out, whether you are sending them out to elementary school or pushing them out to high school, they're going to hear a lot of new revelations. They're going to hear a lot of things the culture says is okay now. And the Bible says, no, it's not. And your kids are going to look to you for the source of truth. And that's when you don't just say, well, because I said so. Unless it's like discipline or stuff like that. Sometimes that works. But when it comes to the Bible, it's like, no. Well, let me tell you. I hear what you're hearing at school. Yeah, I hear all that. Let me tell you, though. Come over here. And we sit down, and you open your Bible, and you say, here's what the Bible teaches. And we believe it because we believe the Bible is true. And we believe, kids, everything in the Bible is true. We do a grace point. We teach it to the Kids Zone Academy preschoolers. This is the Bible. It's God's word, and everything in it is true. Man, I want to get to their hearts as soon as I can because I know I'm competing with the world. So are you. And so you need to be intentional. If you want your kids to know truth, Because today, what they're being taught, what we're being taught, what we're hearing, a whole other sermon, I won't get into it, absolute truth versus moral relativism, right? There is no absolute truth. That's what I've been told as a pastor, people who are, you know, don't believe as I believe, narrow-minded, there's no absolute truth in this world. What are you talking about? There's no absolute truth. It's all moral relativism, right? Depends on the situation. Morals are relative depending on the situation. You can't say every time this is true, it's always true. And I say, well, yeah, I can because the Bible says it. Different. It's not what I think or what culture tells me. It's what the Bible teaches. So that has to be our foundation. That's how we communicate to our children. That's why in a baby dedication, Deuteronomy, it says to write them on the doorposts and to share them with your children constantly. So they're, because they're getting a lot of other stuff. Hey, and the truth is, so are you, man. So are you. That's why you got to stay in the Word. You're getting a lot of stuff in the world. Your mind's being renewed every day with things of the world. So is mine out there in the world. And it's, if we're not careful, we can be deceived. So we want to, the Bible, so here's the it's very clear. The Bible is very clear, right? That indeed, that Jesus was God in the flesh, dwelt among us. John 1:14. Okay, just one verse. That indeed we embrace the person and work of Christ. He was God in the flesh, the deity of Jesus, right? And it's very clear. And anything else is, I hope you see it as a your clear contradiction, right? And you see, you are stepping away from whatever that teaching is. It's last week, I was running around our, you know, community, or, well, who am I kidding? I took a walk, and I need to run. I can hardly breathe right now, but I get tired when I preach. That tells me I'm out of shape. So I was walking around our subdivision, and we have a, I call it a pond. I guess some might call it a lake. It's not that big. I call it a pond. I was walking around the pond, and I had my phone with me, and I saw this. I went over to, I took a picture of it. It's kind of going over to pet the dog horse, and that is a huge dog. But I thought it was so interesting because it's such a contradiction. I was thinking about this sermon, and I thought, well, what? No. It's not a dog. Clearly. And the same, look. Clearly, the scriptures tell us who Jesus was. He was God in the flesh. And anyone denying that, he's saying is not of God, is not of the Father. So start with Jesus, right? You know the truth, you have the truth, embrace the truth. Let's go now to verse 24, kind of just where we're continuing to dwell. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. Now you look for this word abide as I'm studying, I always look for words that recur, so the word abide is going to be one that jumps off, and you're going to continue to see it in the next few weeks, all right? So that we take notice of that, and we'll dwell a little bit more there in the next few weeks. But abiding, this is going to be the key to us not being led away by deception, all right? Let what you heard from the beginning, okay? So you heard the gospel message from the start, right? Abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Now, he says that at the end of eternal life because what they were worried about is, hey, these guys, these believers were saying, well, maybe we're wrong. And if we're wrong, then maybe we aren't saved. And so part of what I shared with you from the very beginning, one of the focuses of 1 John is the assurance of salvation to young believers because they were wondering now, maybe we missed it, man. Maybe these guys who rose up and moved up and said something different about Christ. And so that's what he's saying. With that backdrop, he's saying, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. What you heard was right. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you too will abide in the Son, and you will have eternal life. Takeaway number three, stay with Jesus, abide in the Word. Stay with Jesus, abide in the Word. So when I use abide or stay, okay, I like the word stay also. It's just that idea of continuing in the Word. Okay, let's go for time's sake. Let's go to the next verse, verse 26, and I'll finish it. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you have received from him abides, there's that word again, in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. So what he's saying is not that you shouldn't be taught the scriptures, but he's saying you don't need to be taught some new revelation. You don't need that. You have the truth
from the beginning. That's what you believe. Right? So you don't need somebody to teach you anything new. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide, stay in him, right? That's staying in Christ. And now, little children, abide in him. So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. So takeaway number four, end with Jesus, abide in Christ. End with Jesus, abide in Christ. Okay, the best defense against false teachers is to abide, to stay in Christ and his word. John is saying you need no new revelation. You already have the truth. Abide in the truth. Abide in the word of God. One writer says this, guard yourselves from the deceiver and the antichrist. Love the word. Live in the word. Pray the word. And memorize the word. Abide. Abide. That's we all need that. To abide in the word. If not, we can be led astray. I know sometimes we think, oh, that'll never happen. Right? He's a deceiver. You're deceived. That's what's happening. And so to make sure we are not, and for our children that they are not, that they're abiding in the word and they know the truth. I'm telling you, there's so much coming at them. Right? That is so heretical and wrong, and we want to give them the truth. I like to finish with the hope statement. So the very last thing, my hope is found in knowing that God has made a way for me to avoid deception. All right, that's where my hope is. When I stay in God's word and God's way, I am safe from being deceived and lured away from the truth. That's where my hope is. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear being deceived. Right? He's made a way. He's made a provision. That's where my hope is. God will make a way for me. And the way he's made, what John is saying, is to abide in Christ and to abide in his word, to know the truth. And fundamentally, first and foremost, to know the truth about Jesus. What are they teaching about Jesus? Who do they believe Jesus was? Do they believe that this was God in the flesh dwelling among us? And if they deny that, then John says they're not of God, that they are false teachers. We have hope. We have hope in Christ. We have hope in his word in all things. Day to day, that's where our hope is found. Now the world kind of caves in around us sometimes. It kind of comes on top of us, and we have so much going on. And I know for me, sometimes I lose my focus, and I'm maybe not keeping the main thing, and I'm not urging about living for Christ as I should because I get my eyes downward. And I was thinking about this week. So this past week, I remember one particular day I was in Walmart again. And when I go to Walmart, I go on mission to get in and to get out. Get the package or the Target and get out of there. So when I go, I usually walk fast and I have my head down. So if I've walked past you, don't take it personally. Or if I do in the future, don't take it personally. I'm going in there to get some things, I'm grabbing things, and I'm getting out as quick as I can. Not because I don't like Walmart, but I just don't like Walmart. So I want to get out of there. Actually, I like Walmart. You know, I heard a joke the other day. Do you know how the Lord, speaking of the return of Christ, do you know how the Lord is going to call home the middle class? Attention, Walmart shoppers. I'm here all week. Okay. It's true. That's where I'll be when he comes. I know, Walmart. Here I am, Lord. I'm in Walmart. Yeah, he knew. I knew he'd be there, he'd say. So I'm in Walmart. I got my head down. I'm on a mission. I'm in the bread aisle. And I stop, and the aisle's crowded. And sometimes, God teaches me in those times. And so while I was waiting for some people to move out of the way, as I was praying for them in the spirit, it just kind of hit me, really. It did. Like, this is how it hit me. So I don't want you to think I'm weird just talking to myself, but it was kind of like, what's your problem? Why are you so wound up that you got to get out of here so fast? So the answer to my own question usually is, well, because I have this, 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 and this. But on that particular day, I actually didn't have a this. I actually had time afterwards. I thought, huh. So I just, it kind of hit me that I need to just relax a little bit and maybe not just be so wound up and so on. Because listen, and sometimes I know I overanalyze, but because I start to think, you know, maybe even in small ways, maybe even in small ways, when we choose to make the main thing, which is living for Christ and advancing the gospel even through our actions, maybe even in small ways, we can bring encouragement to people in ways we don't realize. Maybe in small ways. So I thought, yeah, I need to just relax for a few minutes. And so I started walking up the aisle, and I thought, instead of head down, focused, get the target, get out, how about if I just look up and smile? I mean, not a weird smile, like when people are, hey, how you doing? And you're walking, don't do that. That's weird, man, that's so weird. So, but just a normal smile as you're walking along, you know, how about that, I thought. So I decided I'm just going to relax, you know. And so as I'm walking down the aisle, I have a couple of people. One of them is a worker, and another person's behind him coming at me. And so I have my head up, and I just kind of look over, and I just, like, you know, like this. Not weird smile, but I just like, hey, how you doing? And the guy said, guys, how you doing, sir? I said, I'm doing good. Good. You have a good day. I said, you too. And so I walk, kept going. Here comes a lady coming at me, and I'm just like, hi, how are you today? I'm just fine, thank you. Have a good day. And I walked on. Now, I'm not saying like they were like, oh, that was the greatest thing. That man ministered to me in Walmart. I don't know. He was an angel from the Lord today, honey. I just saw him. I'm not saying that, right? I mean, that's weird, but I'm not going for that. But what I'm saying is that I think we can encourage and influence people in ways we don't even realize, even in small ways. Even if I have a little better attitude as I'm walking through Walmart or at home or at work, how much more can God, you know, use me in that way? So I get past the bread aisle and I push my cart a little further down where nobody is, and I decided just to write this little thing. So I'm going to read to you. Not a big deal. But I'm in the middle of Walmart. It's just hit me. Probably, again, more for me, but maybe you can be encouraged that maybe my, you know, singular focus, my self-serving agenda at times, you know, keeps me from, you know, maybe seeing things better and enjoying more that God has for me and encouraging others. So this is kind of where I finished, and then we'll pray and have the Lord's Supper. So maybe, we should smile more and frown less. Let's be kind and caring, not critical and condemning. Let's see the good in people. Let go of the bad. Let's live for today and stop worrying about tomorrow. Let's pray big and believe God. Let's look above our circumstances and not at them. Let's choose joy and not fear, hope instead of defeat. And in a world that can beat us up and tear us down, let's be the ones that lift up and build up. Let's choose grace and not judgment, faith and not fear. Let's offer a kind word instead of a harsh rebuke. And let's remember to be kind to everyone, because you just never know what people might be going through. And did I mention, let's frown less and smile more. And we can do that because of the hope that we have in the Jesus of the Bible. He is our hope. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Our ushers are going to come forward. I want to pray, and then AJ is going to come and walk us through our time to remember. We're remembering today. We're remembering those who've given their lives defending our freedom and our country. And now we're remembering the Lord who gave us freedom in Christ by His giving His life on the cross. And so, Father, I pray that as we remember, may the truth of the cross and the sacrifice settle deep into our hearts and our minds as we remember, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.